Good evening, everybody. It is a welcome to the commission meeting of January 27th, 2021. Due to the public health emergency caused by COVID-19 and as authorized by the city resolution number 2020-31474, today's commission meeting is being held as a hybrid meeting where a quorum of the members of the city commission are physically present in a socially distanced manner at the convention center while staff and the public attend the meeting virtually. To participate or provide comments during the commission meeting, this is what you do. You can go on your Zoom app, zoom.us, or you can call by telephone at 1-929-205-6099. And I'm going to do the toll-free number, and then I'm going to give you a web ID number. So get a pen if you need to write these down. The toll-free number is 888-475-4499, 888-475-4499. And the webinar ID is 827-226-27304 pound. I'm going to repeat it, 827-226-27304 pound. So if you want to speak, what you do is you hit the raise hand icon if you're using a Zoom app, or you press star 9. So if you're on Zoom, you hit the raise hand icon and you'll be brought in the order that you're brought up. Or you can hit star 9 and that is sort of raising your hand as well. Do me a favor, if you're going to speak, please speak. Raise your hand when we call the item, not before, because I'm just going to call somebody when I see them, and if it's not the item you want to speak on, it'll be a waste of your time. The members of the public who do not have access to a computer and wish to provide public comment can appear in person at the Miami Beach Convention Center at 1901 Convention Center Drive on the Washington Avenue entrance in room 237. At this location, you'll be providing access to a computer to provide public comment in audio form on an agenda item or at the Stanley Sudnick Citizen Forum. So hopefully everybody has that. With that, Michelle, is there an inspirational message, or do you have one today?
Not today.
Okay, so to everybody, let's have a great meeting. We have a short agenda. It's really to recognize people, but I really appreciate all that everybody's done.
So. And Mayor, you may want to just do a moment of silence for International Holocaust Memorial Day.
Thank you, because I was actually going to do that when we got to it, but we can do it now. In a moment, we are going to recognize a few things regarding to Jewish history and No Place for Hate recognition, but I think Commissioner Steinberg makes a good point. We are, if you looked on online today, you saw that people all over the world, I think it's International Holocaust Remembrance Day, are remembering the Holocaust. I put a quote on my Facebook page from Elie Wiesel, who had a lot of ties to our community. I actually had the privilege of meeting him more than a few times when he was in Miami Beach. And he always famously would point out that if you forget, you hurt the victims again. And there's a great need to remember. And he considered himself almost the recorder of the Holocaust. So I urge anybody, if they really want to read Dawn or any of the books by Elie Wiesel or any of his writings. But with that, why don't we all take a moment to remember all those that we've lost in the Holocaust. Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner Steinberg. Okay, Mr. Clerk, do you have any announcements?
Yes, sir. All the addendum items have been approved. Commissioner Samulin separated C7B as in boy. That's the only announcement, sir.
Okay. So why don't we first move to approve the consent agenda, excluding items that have been separated. Anybody moving?
Okay. Commissioner Samulin, seconded by Commissioner Gongora.
I show that done with the excluded items. I show it done without objection. Okay, we're going to, I think, first go to presentations and awards. So with that, I'd like to pull up PA1, which is So go ahead and pull it up.
Yes, sir. PA 1 is presentation ADL, No Place for Hate Banners Recognition, requested by Commissioners Mayor Gelberg, Commissioner Steinberg, and Commissioner Gongora.
Okay. Is Leslie here? We have Leslie Rosenfeld. There we go. Dr. Rosenfeld, how are you? Good evening.
Good evening.
So why don't you, we've got a lot of principals and a lot of others, so why don't you, are you the MC for us at the moment?
I'll start us off, sure.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, and good evening, everyone. Each year, we have the privilege of recognizing our public schools for their attainment of the Anti-Defamation League's No Place for Hate. We have been in partnership with the Anti-Defamation League and our public schools for at least a decade now, and we are so proud of this partnership and its impact on our children and on our community. I'd like to ask Yolanda Santiago from the Anti-Defamation League to speak to us as to what earning the No Place for Hate designation entails for each of our schools. And as a result of this partnership, the City of Miami Beach will also earn the Community of Respect designation as well.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Yolanda Santiago, and I'm the Associate Director of Education here at the Anti-Defamation League here in Florida. No Place for Hate campaign is a chance where schools have a chance to take a stand against things that, you know, in their own place of learning. This is never an easy job, and it takes the whole school and community to make it work. So today I want to acknowledge all of the work that the City of Miami Beach does to participate with No Place for Hate program and all of the schools. And I want to thank the mayor of City of Miami Beach and all of the commissioners and all of the principals and all of the schools who work so hard every single year to make sure that your school is designated and you always continue to be a community of respect. And all of the ADL, we are so proud of the work that you all do and the accomplishments that it takes to earn this great designation. So without further ado, I would like to present you guys, you all, with the Community of Respect banner, as well as every single school in the City of Miami Beach, Miami Senior High, Nautilus, every single one of you all with your banners for the school year of 2019-2020.
Thank you. Before we go any more, I want to just recognize some of the folks that are here and some of the folks that are so important in this award. First of all, we have our school board representative here, Ms. Biles Geller. Hi, it's nice to see you. Thank you for Thank you for coming out to whichever room in your house you Zoom from. And certainly, if you'd like to say something, you're invited to.
Oh, thank you so much, Mayor. Very quickly, today on such an important day, Holocaust Remembrance Day, I'm very proud to be here as we remember those 6 million Jews who were murdered by the Nazis, and to stand with ADL, with our students, with our Miami Beach community, and say never again. I thank all the work that the commission is doing and the schools. But as a teacher, I want to thank all the sponsors of ADL at the schools. I know how hard you work, and especially our students, parents, administrators. Holocaust education is extremely important to myself, to our district, and to combat all forms of hate. Thank you for all the work you do and for being here.
Thank you. So let's also recognize we have a lot of folks, Dr. Fishman. I see a couple of the principals. It looks like there's more. Can I go ahead and thank all the principals and who are on now, and just the ones from our feeder pattern, and Jorge Mazzone from South Point, Maria Costa from Feinberg, Mel and Dr. Fishman from North Beach, Karen Belusic from Biscayne, Dahlia Villar from Treasure Island, Scott Saperstein from Ruth K. Broad, Mary Murphy from Nautilus, and Deborah Riera, the new principal at Beach High. Thank you to all the principals, and of course to Mr. Bonse, the region director, all of you. We're very grateful for all of you. There are a few other people, or is there, we have a few other people to speak, Leslie? Go ahead.
We also are joined by Dr. Trevoni representing North Bay Village. They are a partner of ours in implementing the No Place for Hate at Treasure Island. And each of our schools send us a picture of themselves holding the banner with their students, and perhaps we can show those photos of our children in each of our schools. Great. South Point. Me. Just click through. Biscayne, Treasure. There's Treasure Island. There's Ruth K. Feinberg Fisher. Nautilus. Miami Beach Senior High. And as part of our partnership, here is the city's banner. We've earned the designation of being a community of respect. Thank you.
Terrific. Doctor, anything else?
I don't know if there's any comments by any of our commissioners.
I'm going to get to them in a minute. I wanted to know if we'd gotten through with all. And thank you to Commissioner Dr. Chauvinot, thank you very much. Okay, let me recognize Commissioner Gangora and then Commissioner Steinberg.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Dr. Rosenfeld. I'm super excited about this program and to see these wonderful images at all of our public schools. When I was on the commission last time, some years ago, probably close to a decade ago, Dr. Rosenfeld actually brought this program to my attention, and I'm proud to have sponsored this initially at Nautilus Middle School, which was the first school that became part of the AVL program. And now, of course, it has spread so that every single public school in the Miami Beach feeder pattern is a part of the AVL program, No Place for Hate. And this program is so important because it really cements what our core values are in Miami Beach: respect for one another, anti-bullying, love and acceptance, and diversity. So this is something we stand for. This is who we are as a city. And now it is cemented with the school board and our public schools and our students at a very young age. So I'm very, very proud of this program. Congratulations, Dr. Rosenfeld, principals, school board members, teachers, students, and everyone who's involved. I look forward to this every year and seeing how we can make our program and message even stronger.
Thank you, Commissioner. Commissioner Steinberg.
Yeah, I won't take up too much time. I echo all the sentiments Commissioner Gangora just said. You know, this is something that's also near and dear to many of us, and we're so grateful that the entire feeder pattern is able to partake and participate and get the designation, and it's a testament to all of you. You know, we need to combat hate in all forms, and working with partners like ADL really helps, especially with our youth, and really learning at that young age exactly what we need to do and be as we grow into the adults we want to be. And so thank you again for everything. And, you know, I'm proud to also sponsor this through the years I've been on the commission. And I look forward to what we can do in the coming years to really cement that. Thank you.
Thank you. Vice Mayor Minor.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'll just echo the comments. And it's actually a very opportune time today, of all days, to have this item on No Hate on Holocaust Remembrance Day. I don't want to get too emotional, but my parents and grandparents lost quite a bit of family in the Holocaust—aunts, uncles, cousins. So it's a day that hits home very, very strongly. And I guess I look at it also and appreciate our country, the United States of America, that has treated so many, not just Jewish people, but people from all over the world, and has treated us so well. It's really, there's no words to thank this country for what it's offered, you know, so many. Actually, speaking of that, I was going to make a suggestion, if it's okay with the mayor. We didn't have an inspirational speech, but maybe Pledge of Allegiance after we do these presentations. on that note. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to add my voice along with the others. I have a long history with the ADL from my days in Tallahassee as the state representative and the fine and proud work that they are doing. It's a testament of the city and the partnership that all of our schools participate. I can say, based on my experience, that not all schools in the state of Florida and not all schools in Miami-Dade County have this level of commitment to anti-bullying and anti-hate training. So I'm very excited about this, and I'd just like to ask the clerk at this time to add my name as a co-sponsor, and congratulations to the city and to ADL.
Thank you, Commissioner Richardson. One thing I'd say before we move on to the next item is, you know, this is a typically a very feel-good item, because it gives us a chance to talk about, you know, the fact that we are very proud of our feeder pattern. We're proud of our teachers and principals, that they take children, our children, and they instill in them and echo what hopefully they hear at home and at church or synagogue or in the community about hate. But the truth of the matter is, hate is real. Hate exists. And I think we all have to understand that, you know, the one thing I'm always have been proudest about of our city is that not that we simply declare ourselves as no place for hate, but when hate happens somewhere in the world, we will usually get together and make a strong statement against it in a way that is, you know, that's unafraid and proud. And hate comes in many forms against many groups. And for us, we always stand with all groups that are the object of hate. And we will continue to do that. So we appreciate all of our principals and all of our educators and everybody who teaches this to our youth. But it's really up to us as leaders and adults in the community to never be afraid to stand, because hate only exists when right-thinking people don't stand up and say something. So I'm very proud of all that you have done and our city has done over the decades. So with that, before we move on to the next item, I'm going to call on the vice mayor to lead us in the pledge. I never know whether to do an inspiration message or the pledge for these short meetings, but I am always up for I'm always up for the pledge. So, Commissioner, Vice Mayor, are you ready to lead us?
I am ready. Thank you. I'm waiting. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, let's move to the next P item, PA2.
Yes, sir. PA2 is Proclamation Jewish History Month in the City of Miami Beach, requested by Commissioner Gungora.
Okay. Commissioner.
Yes, thank you. As we stated at the beginning of the meeting, this proclamation is particularly meaningful and impactful because it does coincide with Holocaust Remembrance Day, which is such an important day in the world. I want to make sure that Susan Gladstone Pasternak, the executive director of the Jewish Museum, is a panelist. If not, please let her in, because I would like for her to speak after I present this. There you are, Susan. This is my first virtual proclamation, so I'm going to do my best job with it. Susan took over in 2017, but the Jewish Museum has a long and prestigious history in our community. It actually was started by its founding executive director, Marcia Jo Zverevitz, who also started Florida Jewish History Month. Florida Jewish History Month has been observed since 2003, when former Governor Bush signed a bill declaring the statewide observance. And Florida is the first state in the nation to have a month dedicated to the tremendous contributions of the Jewish community. The Jewish Museum of Florida, FIU, is the only museum dedicated to telling the story of more than 250 years of Florida Jewish history, arts and culture, and it has a growing collection of more than 100,000 items. It's located south of 5th at 301 Washington Avenue, and the museum is housed in two restored historic buildings that were once synagogues for Miami Beach's first Jewish congregation. The original synagogue was built in 1929, and the second was built in 1936 and was designed by Art Deco architect Henry Hohauser and features 80 stained glass windows, a copper dome, and a marble bemat. So the Jewish Museum creates the immigrant experience in our multicultural society. The core exhibit started back by Marcia, and it went collecting things that happened that date back to 1763. And it started as a statewide grassroots effort. It went around the state. It had photographs, artifacts, oral histories of families, and more. Traveled 13 cities from 1990 to 1994, and it generated so much interest, but in 1995, it evolved into the Jewish Museum as we know it today. In 2012, they became part of FIU, creating a historic partnership that leverages the resources of the museum with FIU to ignite a new era of interdisciplinary education and research. And the Jewish Museum serves as a forum to promote tolerance, further global understanding, and create connections to Jewish culture, history, arts, and contemporary civic life for diverse audiences. So it is my pleasure, on behalf of the Mayor and Commission of the City of Miami Beach, to proclaim January 2021 as Jewish History Month in the City of Miami Beach. Thank you for your contribution. And Susan, I'm going to deliver this to you, but I'm going to turn it over to you now to take it over.
Okay, Commissioner, thank you so much. And thank you, Mayor, for having us. We are very honored to receive this proclamation. You highlighted many of the things I was going to say, but I thank you for mentioning that Florida Jewish History Month was initiated by Marcia Jozarevitz, the founding director of the Jewish Museum of Florida. And we are very proud of all of the accomplishments over 250 years that we are able to add to our distinguished timeline. We're very proud to be part of the Miami Beach community, to be located in such a beautiful area of Miami Beach. And we're very proud to be able to participate with the City of Miami Beach in such distinguished programs as the STEAM program in all of the public schools. And it is very poignant for us to be receiving this today on International Holocaust Remembrance Day. So on behalf of myself, my board of directors, and all of my staff, thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, Mayor, you're muted. You got to unmute yourself.
I don't know that, I was going to say thanks, Susan, and thank you, Commissioner. I don't know that we've done a lot of virtual proclamations yet, but we'll all have to meet your enthusiasm. So it's a good standard.
Thank you.
all right, now we're going to move to R5A.
R5A is an ordinance of the Mayor, City Commission of the City of Miami Beach, Florida, amending Chapter 82 of the Code of the City of Miami Beach, entitled Public Property, by amending Article 4, entitled Uses and Public Rights of Way, by amending Division 5, entitled Sidewalk Cafes, by amending Subdivision 1, entitled Generally, by amending Section 82-371 thereof, entitled Civil Fines and Penalties, Denial of Future Permits to Repeat Violators, and Enhanced Penalties, by modifying those penalties to be imposed for violations of this division, and by amending Subdivision 2, entitled Permit, by amending Section 82-382 thereof, entitled Application, by further enhancing the prohibition for permittees that have repeatedly violated this division and providing for repealer, severability, codification, and effective date. This is a second reading public hearing.
Okay, members, before we get an explanation, just so you know, this is sort of third reading. My recollection is we did this and then we decided to expand it. So rather than we just simply went back to first reading last time. So we're now on second reading. Rafael, are you the boss of this?
Alex Boxner covered this item, but to recap, the only change from a first reading, or as the mayor would say, the second reading, the reading on January 13th, rather, is to add the language that Commissioner Gongora requested, so that once a permittee is issued a violation and subsequently submits an operational plan to the city manager, the city manager will exercise reasonable efforts to approve or deny the plan within 5 business days. But otherwise, the enhanced penalties were as presented at the commission meeting on the 13th.
Okay. This is a public hearing, right?
It is.
So let's see if there's anyone in the public who wants to be heard. I don't see anyone. So let's go back here, and I'm going to go to my co-sponsor, I think, Commissioner Samuelin.
Thank you, Mayor Gilbert, and I'm proud to co-sponsor this with you. We usually don't have third readings, but, you know, third time's probably a charm. I think this is important ordinance. We're strengthening. We're getting tougher on bad operators. As we've said many times, operating and making money on the public property is a privilege, not a right. I think this is good government, and I'm going to move the item.
Okay, he's moving the item. I'll second it. Let's go ahead and call the roll.
Commissioner Richardson.
Yes.
Commissioner Gongora.
Yes.
Commissioner Samuelin.
Yes.
Commissioner Steinberg.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Minor.
Yes.
Commissioner Ariola is absent. Mayor Gilbert.
Tom, yes. I'm here.
Ariola's here.
Oh, yeah, I've been here the whole time.
Okay, sorry about that.
I'm a yes.
Yes, and Mayor Gilbert?
Yeah.
Thank you. The item passes.
Okay. All right, we're just moving along perfectly here. Let's move to C7B.
C7B is waive DRB advisory review for North Beach open space park, beach walk, CIP. This item was separated by Commissioner Samuelin.
Commissioner Samuelin.
Thank you, Mayor. This project has been with us for quite a while. I'm like the rest of you in the community, want to see progress keep going, and am absolutely open to what's on the table. I did want to just make clear, because we have had some questions from the community, so I really have one specific question to whoever within the administration or city attorney's office could clarify that what this is doing is moving forward with the design of the beach walk project, and that the park itself will still be going to DRB. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is, Commissioner. That the park will be is scheduled to go to DRB next month.
Okay. Thank you for that, because I know there's have been some questions in the community. A lot of people love the design. Some people love parts of the design and still want to give their input. And I just wanted to make sure that they would have the input to give input related to security or any other issues at the DRB meeting at the park. So with that, that responds to the primary issue I had, and I'm happy to move this item.
The item has been moved, but we have Vice Mayor Minor would like to be heard.
All right, thank you, Mayor. I guess a couple of questions, and there are two components to this. One is the park, and the other is the beach walk. I'll start with the park. There were some residents who reached out who had concerns whether the police department has signed off on this, and they, I guess the concerns raised were that there are some homeless, there are certain areas where people can be well hidden, and they are sort of hanging out there late at night, and it creates a certain ambiance that is not very welcoming. So I wanted Raul or our police department, if they can address that, what the plan is for this new design.
I would defer that to Chief Clemens or David Martinez. But again, I want to remind the commission that this item doesn't have anything to do with the park. The park will be going to DRB next month, but David, can you address this?
Okay. Well, actually, since that's a good point, this is going, and maybe this is a question for David as well. It's going to DRB. Is it coming back to us as a commission for review once DRB reviews?
No.
So it kind of is in our hands a little bit, because we're never going to see this. We're not going to vote on this item again.
Correct. David, do you want to, can you address the security issue or Chief Clemens?
I will defer to David as the lead on this, and I'll talk about the security issues, but anything that they do on David's part, and I'll chime in after he's done.
So, David?
If he's not on, I'll go ahead and go through with it.
I see him. There's a David Martinez on our Zoom.
Hi, good afternoon, David. We're having a little trouble hearing you. Yeah, if you could unmute.
Mayor.
You're going to have to speak up, David.
Sorry, I'm having activity. Can you go?
All right, while you're working on that, Chief, do you want to fill us in?
Absolutely. We have heard some of the concerns that we had over the layout and design of the park. And really, for the most part, I think it was just a matter of being able to clarify what some of those concerns were. We met with David and his crew and myself and some of my officers. And we went out to the park and we were able to really get a good idea as to what the vision was and more importantly, how we were going to go and deal, you know, with some of those concerns. I think we're on a really good path. I mean, you know, again, the layout, the construction and design of the park is going to be phenomenal. And I think the safety concerns, in fact, I'm positive the safety concerns were very much addressed yesterday. And again, the police department fully supports the plan.
Okay. Commissioner Minor, Vice Mayor Minor.
Is there any formal report from the police department on that? Is there anything I could review?
There is an updated report that's being done by Officer Julio Blanco that initially went ahead. And you remember his whole plan or review of the park or recommendations went back to 2017, you know, when the plans were just being formalized. And yesterday was an opportunity to really kind of revisit that, and he's done that. And I will ask him to update that for you.
And just put it.
Okay, and the just to make sure, the police department's reviewing the current design that's been modified.
Yes, Vice Mayor.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? With that,
I wanted to turn back to the. I wanted to focus now on the beach walk.
Okay.
Unless we want to split it up and bifurcate it into two different votes, but it's
there's only one vote here. The vote is to waive the advisory design review for the beach walk component. We're not voting on the park at all today.
Okay. So I guess my concern with the beach walk is, correct me if I'm wrong, the beach walk would constitute a removal of 183 palm trees. Is that right?
David?
That correct.
David, we're having trouble hearing you.
Hello, can you hear me, Commissioner?
Yeah, now we can.
Yeah, we got you.
I'm sorry, I'm having major problems in the office with connectivity. I apologize. Yes, there's approximately 183 palms that would be removed as part of this project. What I'd like to put in perspective is that there's over 3,400 trees and palms in the park. So the combination of palms and trees that are being removed as part of this project constitute about 8% of the whole. In addition to that, we're adding back 433 trees, which is about 13%. So the net increase of the project would be 5% over what's in the park already by what we're doing with the beach walk.
Right, but David, when you give those numbers, that's not just the beach walk, correct? You're giving the totality of the park as well.
That is correct. And again, the beach walk is part of the park, Commissioner. We just separated the projects in order to be able to construct one before the other.
And the trees that you're adding, just to be clear, are canopy trees, not palm trees, for the most part.
For the most part, yes, that is correct.
So my concern is this. So this came up at the last meeting when we were talking about the 41st Street streetscape design. There's an urban forestry plan that calls for the removal of 1,060 palm trees throughout our city, the relocation of 441 additional palm trees, which I think we heard from staff that many of those may not survive the move because they are being relocated. So, and that's what I proposed, and I've talked to Raul about this, and he can speak about it as well, is that we have, and I'm actually putting an agenda item on, that we have a special workshop to discuss this issue, because this is a major change in the landscape of our city. The goal under the Urban Forestry Master Plan is to go from the current 57% of our trees in Miami Beach are palm trees. Under the current plan, that would go to 25%. That is a major shift that I know I didn't have any input in. I don't know if this commission did not input. We may have approved the Urban Forestry Master Plan, but there's no specifics in that plan as to how many palm trees are going to be removed. So I think it behooves us to have that discussion and also have community input. I know when I've mentioned that to people are surprised. Our residents, I think by and large, are not aware of it. Generally, the feedback I'm getting is not positive, which is further motivating me to continue pursuing this. And actually a lot, especially after the last commission meeting, when we were talking about it in the context of the 41st Street plan, but looking at it citywide as well, many people reached out to me, surprised that this had not come to the forefront earlier. So I'm a little concerned that, and there's other projects going on as well right now that are literally being marked where palm trees are being removed. And now we have another project here, and we haven't even had that discussion as a commission as to whether this is the right direction for us to go in.
Commissioner, I would say that this is that your comments are very appropriate. And with regard to 41st Street, it's the perfect time to have the discussion at the conceptual level. Now, this project in particular, which is why I would recommend that we move forward with granting this waiver, is because this is the last component of the beach block, which is one of the most important, impactful, and desired projects in our geobond projects. So on next month's agenda, we have the contract, we have the ITB awarding the contract for the general contractor. So I would say at this point with this contract, with this project, the community is very supportive of finishing the beach walk. I think most of you received a letter of support from members of the North Beach community. We are ready to go into construction. Like I said, this is one of our longest awaited geobond projects, and this is the last piece of the connector for the entire beach block from South Point to Surfside. So I'm not discounting that your comments are very, very appropriate, but I think that when we have that discussion, we should focus on projects that are at the conceptual or design level. Essentially, what we would be doing if we would decide to halt this project now, to redesign it, and may result in, number one, increased costs in money that we may not have identified funding for, and also certainly it would delay us in awarding the contract for the contractor. There's also grant funding involved in this project that could be at risk because of potential deadlines. We've already received all our DEP and Florida Fish and Wildlife approvals for this project. So I'm not in any way minimizing your concerns, because you know that I supported the 15% maximum for the 34th Street corridor conceptual plan. But this project, the distinction that I would make here is that this project is ready to go into construction. And as I said, it's a very important project to the community as a whole. For those of you that have been with us a long time, this has taken us decades to achieve. and we are now at the final phase where we are ready to connect the entire beach walk from, as I said, South Point to Surfside by the summer of 2022. And I think this is something that the public is waiting for. So again, respectfully, I think this, you know, the this is a little different in terms of how far along this project has evolved versus right. projects that that we should be addressing at the conceptual and design level.
No, and I know it is a very important project for the community, and I'm supportive of the project. I look at it as a process issue that unfortunately is coming. You know, it almost makes us. I'll say me, since I'm raising it now, but as a commission as a whole, it puts us, to me, it puts me and maybe our commission in a tough spot, because now if we try to block it, we're the bad ones. Then why aren't we moving forward? Why are we trying to halt progress? Where this, in my opinion, this should have been brought to our attention long ago. So it just, it puts us in a bad position when process isn't followed and there's not full information, because I just learned of this when the press release came out about a month ago with the 183 palm trees would be removed. But just one other point, and this goes to David's point, talking about the beach walk and the park together. Why couldn't this component also be reviewed by the DRB in an advisory fashion when they consider it next week?
Because I think, first of all, the reason I'm recommending the waiver is there's really no reason for the DRB. The DRB's advisory review would be limited to aesthetic criteria. And the beach walk itself has already been reviewed by DRB. And this segment of the beach park, of the beach walk, is no different in terms of materials or anything else as the rest of the beach, as the beach walk in general, which has been approved by DRB. So there's really, in recommending the waiver, there's really no reason for the DRB to re-review in an advisory capacity something that has already been reviewed by the DRB. So it would really, timing is everything. And I think that this is really, you know, one of the things we want to do with our geo bond programs is show, you know, that we are making projects and that results are being driven. And as far as the review of this project goes, this project has been extensively reviewed with regard to the beach walk. I mean, the beach walk has been an ongoing thing for years and years and years. So there's really no reason that to have the DRB give an advisory recommendation as to the portion of the beach walk, because it's going to look the same as the rest of the beach walk. This isn't being designed any differently. So that was the basis for my recommendation. I think the neighborhood would like to see us get this done.
Vice Mayor, let's hear from Commissioner Richardson, if that's okay. He's got his hand up.
Thank you, Mayor. I think Raul, you make a good point about the fact that we need to have these discussions respectfully in the concept stage. This project started long before I got here. I'm thinking of a couple other items that I spoke up on about 3 or 4 months ago. And someone pulled me aside and said, yeah, we had that conversation 3 years ago. And you weren't here to have that conversation. And, sometimes I want to have the conversation today because I am here now. But we don't have the money to redesign this. I do think there's a place that we should have this conversation about palm trees, and maybe we could have a discussion item, where we talk about the change in the canopy. I'm curious about it myself, just because there may be a very good reason to have a change in canopy. You know, when you think back to the early part of the prior century, the island was filled with mangroves. So if we wanted to return to our natural habitat, I guess we'd have a lot of mangrove, but we don't want to do that either. But I think I suspect that there is a reason that we're having a change in the canopy, and that has to do with native species, and also has to do with cover, which gives us more shade, which is what communities are more focused on today than they were 20 or even 15 years ago, because of the sustainability issues and cost issues related to temperature and as temperatures rise. So I think there's a place to have this conversation. I would just like to have it as in the concept stage, as you said, because I remember coming here 25 years ago and hearing about these discussions about a beach walk. And as a state representative, I knew how hard it was to get this funding, these little incremental funding pieces where we've been able to get the beach walk done in a very incremental way. And here we are at the very end. I'm excited about the fact that this beach walk is going to go through the park. I think it's going to aid security in that particular park by having more activation. I would very much like to move on with this project. I don't think it's in the best interest that we delay it in any way. So the item has been moved, and I will second it. And I'll encourage my colleagues to join us, and let's get this done. Let's have a conversation that I think is very relevant about canopy cover. But let's have those conversations in the concept stage so that we don't have to spend excess funds redesigning projects. So thank you.
Mayor, if I may, after you go around with the other commissioners and you take the vote, because I've had extensive conversations with Commissioner Minor on this, and I know he feels passionately about this, after the vote is taken, may I ask the commission, may I make some additional remarks?
Yes, but let's first see if we can get it passed. Vice Mayor, do you want to be heard again?
No, thank you. I'll just say I'm not convinced that there would be a delay in the project to modify the number of palm trees, because you're putting in canopy trees. So I'm not looking to delay the project. I don't think it would delay the project, and I don't think it would create an extra cost. So that's what I feel. And if it did delay it, I would think differently.
Okay. I always like to watch a good effort. let's go ahead. Other than Commissioner Minor, this is a board vote, Ralph?
The voice vote.
Voice vote. Okay. Other than Commissioner Vice Mayor Minor, are there any objections? Okay. Show it passed 6-1.
May I be recognized, Mayor?
Ralph, you're recognized briefly.
Well, there's a second component to this, and Commissioner Minor and I were going to bring this in February. But now that Commissioner Richardson brought it up, would someone entertain a motion to schedule a special commission workshop so that the urban forestry master plan, and that would include, I know Betsy Wheaton prepared a very comprehensive LTC with regard to projects that involve removal of palm trees, and you know, et cetera. And you know, I know this is an important issue to Commissioner Minor and to the community. So I wonder if someone would entertain a motion to schedule a special commission workshop so that the commission could understand the urban forestry master plan and its relation to the geobond projects. Did I get it right, Commissioner Minor?
Yes, and I'll move it.
Sir, second?
Second.
Okay, let's show it done. Any objection?
I don't have any objection to doing it. I'm just curious what we would do in a special workshop versus having it as a discussion item. Is it because we expect it's going to take a lot longer than we would want to spend on a discussion item?
Yes, I think the reason we would do this as a workshop is because I think it'll be like it'll take about 2 hours, you know, to go through the plan. There will be questions. You know, we'd like to ramp up a presentation. So that's why I suggested doing it as a workshop, because in a meeting, I think it'll just be, you know, I'd like to have the commission the opportunity to focus on that exclusively.
Okay. I would just ask that it's the administration in planning the workshop. Could you bring us discussion or presentation on what other communities are doing? Because I am interested. I know, for example, Atlanta has really done a lot to improve their canopy cover, and so I'm curious not just at what we're doing, but I'm interested in what other communities are doing as well. If that could be part of the conversation, I think that would be helpful.
Certainly.
Thank you.
And I guess, should I get with the city clerk on potential dates to give the commissioners? Or how do you want me to do it, Rafael?
Well, usually Michelle will organize it with the commissioners to make sure it's at the right time.
Okay.
Just be reminded that there's a February presentations meeting that you may want to consider for this.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I would want to do this separately. Okay. Maybe we can dovetail on a committee meeting or something like that.
All right. Let's go ahead and move to the next item.
All right, so I'll work on that.
Excuse me, Mayor, just a quick comment. Yep. First off, and I appreciate Commissioner Minor bringing this forward. He's showed a lot of passion and interest in really digging this issue out, and I look forward to the workshop. I would just add to the request that Commissioner Richardson made. I think the best practice is good, but I would just really request to maximize our time and to meet that 2 hours, that we resend the LTC, send whatever background information, and be as clear as possible of the few choice points, decisions that we can really make. Put that in front of us up front, and please let's focus the time on that just to maximize efficiency. Thank you.
Okay.
Mayor, you're muted.
R9D.
R9D, discuss take action regarding Collins Park Culture Arts Facility.
Okay, I'm going to explain it, and then I'm going to invite someone to move it. But first, I'm going to explain it. We have another item on the agenda with regard to the Collins Park Garage and approving the RFP for that. And there's been a discussion as to whether we should go out into the put it out there and see what kind of bids we get to develop it, et cetera. And occupy it, or whether we should look to Miami New Drama as the occupant of it and give them an opportunity to really put together a proposal that we would go with. At the last meeting, when we were considering the item, if you all recall, I said publicly that I would support giving Miami New Drama first a chance to put it together and something like a 60-day period or something like that. The reason I did that is because from the very beginning of this project, or at least as long as I've been aware of it, I've always thought of it as a home for Miami New Drama. And I didn't come to that judgment on my own. I think it's not, and it's just not the community. I think if you look at Miami New Drama's experience in our community over the last at least 5 years, they have become a cultural anchor. And typically with cultural institutions, you don't necessarily go out the way we do in an RFP. That's what some of the cultural professionals in our community have said. So for me, what I'd like to do is, and the reason I brought it up, and I tried to telegraph that I was going to do this publicly at the last meeting, is I think Miami New Drama has proven itself to be not simply phenomenal, but it's grown in a way that I think has reflected the very best in our community. They've taken the Colony Theater, which was dark most of the years, and showed their ability to not simply create a wonderful fair there, but also produce and program wonderful fair. They're sort of a triple threat. Michelle has been, he's created works, he's produced ones, and he's programmed other people's works, thus making that place a vibrant center that we all had imagined and hoped it would be and wondered whether it ever would be again. And he did that. So for me, it's just sort of simple that he is, and Miami New Drama is, I believe, a cultural anchor in that space for our city. And we ought to be giving them a space. The same way, by the way, institutions like the New World Symphony and the Miami City Ballet are cultural anchors. We spend a lot of time trying to keep them here. And I'm going to give some of the, I'm going to give them a chance to speak, and then I'm going to get to the commissioners. But the one thing I want to point out, and the real reason why I was so, sort of moved, because generally I don't do this. Generally I let other folks sort of advance these kinds of ideas, is that I really do worry that we're going to lose them. I think they have gotten so much national attention over the last year or two. They're the things that I saw there, are being seen everywhere. Forget the seven deadly sins. Think about all the things they've done. One Night in Miami, all of them. They've been diverse, inclusive. They've done everything a cultural organization should do. They challenge you. They inspire you. And I think they have become part of our community in the 5-6 years that they have been operating there in a way that is extraordinary. So for me, I know this is a 5-vote waiver. I wanted to give us a chance to discuss it. I want to hear from them. I know Commissioner Higgins is here as well. I know Michael Spring from the county is here as well. So they're on a little bit of a tight frame. So what I'd like to do is give them a chance to speak, then come back to our commissioners, if that's okay. Because I think when this was sort of percolating, they wanted to be heard. So with that, I'm going to recognize Commissioner Higgins and then Spring. And then I know Miami New Drama is somewhere around here also, but I'd like to hear Commissioner Higgins first, if that's okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, everybody in Miami Beach. It's nice to be with you tonight. I'm here with Michael Spring, who, of course, runs Miami-Dade County's Cultural Affairs Department. I thought it might be helpful as you discuss this item to have his many, many years of expertise at driving agreements and building companies that are transforming Miami-Dade County from a place where the arts were not at the center of our brand to one that is, in the building of places like the Arts Center and, of course, the support for Miami New Drama. So he graciously has agreed to be here to answer any technical questions about how the county, with its very, very large budget, typically does these kinds of cultural agreements, which are never procurements. So just laying it out there that we on the county side were a little surprised to see that an RFP would go out for something like this. I just want to reiterate the reason that the county is involved in this is Miami New Drama. We consider it to be a regional cultural asset, which is why we each year do invest. This year, in addition with CARES Act money, we've spent several $100,000 trying to make sure that Miami New Drama is as supported by the county as it is by you all in Miami Beach. The other reason we believe Miami New Drama is important, not just to Miami Beach, but to the county, is over 80% of the people that go to see a performance of Miami New Drama are not City of Miami Beach residents. They are coming from other zip codes, and the bulk of them are actually coming from the other side of the causeway. So this is a unique cultural group that attracts people from all over the county, as far away as Kendall, as far away as Doral, on a regular and frequent basis to come to Miami Beach, spend money on Lincoln Road in restaurants to enjoy themselves in a very premium way, experiencing the beauty of Miami Beach, but also a great cultural experience. As the mayor says, Miami New Drama has been, quite frankly, the only news in the United States of America about how arts communities are responding and innovating and rising above during the pandemic. And their work, if you had hired a PR firm, you couldn't have gotten the kind of national coverage from the New York Times to, I couldn't even believe it. I was watching the News Hour and there it was on the other night. So they really have done their job, not only of activating Lincoln Road, but activating Miami Beach and Miami-Dade County as a world-class arts institution. And I think the mayor also said they have to grow. They are going to need more space. I believe it would be wonderful if they stay in Miami Beach, and it would be a tragedy, to use a theatrical term, I guess, should we in the county, we certainly in the county would not lose them. We would have to find some other spot for them. But in my opinion, the best home is the home that they were born in and grew up in and have activated in the colony. So with that, I'll close out. But Michael Spring is here to give a perspective. And then we're both available for questions. So I certainly hope that you decide to move forward with Miami New Drama's proposal rather than putting this out for RFP where we do not know what to expect when those results come back versus creating a curated experience for our residents and our visitors. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Commissioner Higgins. Always nice to see you. Mr. Spring, how are you?
Mr. Mayor, good. Thank you very much. I'll be very brief. I am here and available to answer questions for all of you. But as your resident cultural evangelist, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. You are clearly the most progressive municipality we have in regard to support for the arts. And you have yet another unique opportunity to add to the constellation of incredible arts organizations that are serving your community and the entire community with Miami New Drama. When you have these kinds of opportunities to match an outstanding cultural group to a cultural facility that would help them grow and set down their roots, my advice is to go for it. In the 37 years that I've been with Miami-Dade County, we have never competitively bid the operations of our cultural facilities. And in fact, we have done this very same matching process that we're recommending to you tonight for organizations that are well suited to the facilities that we've developed to operate them and program them. So I can give you examples of those things if you'd like later, or answer any other questions you may have, and I'll stop there. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Michael. I'm going to call on, I see the Michelle is on the phone. Michelle Hausman, can you recognize you and Nick? So
thank you, Mayor Gilmore and the commission. Thank you, Michael and Commissioner Higgins as well. A lot has been said about the project. We haven't spoken about the project specifically since July and when we spoke about it at the General Commission meeting. So I just wanted to take a brief moment just to review the project, because there have been developments and changes based on the many, many months of listening that we've done both privately and publicly with the commissioners, with staff, with the community, with the neighborhood association, with other cultural institutions in Miami Beach and throughout the county. So some of this you've seen, some of it you haven't, but I think it'll help us frame where we're at, and I'll share the new information as we go. Can I share screen, please?
PJ, you going to let him share, or you're going to be tough about this?
Kevin's on it, sir.
All right. So this is the Collins Park Cultural Center. It is a dynamic, active, transformative cultural space that we've managed by Miami New Drama. It includes theater, music, dining, and an active community space, and we feel that it really serves the community as a whole. You're all familiar with Miami New Drama, and a lot of good things has been said this evening already, but as a reminder that in 4 years, we took a venue, the Colony Theater, that was dark 80% of the year and turned it into a venue that serves 40,000 people annually in over 175 active nights. On March 13th of 2020, when we had to shut the doors of the Colony Theater, we were 75% of the way toward making our annual goal. So we would have far exceeded our goals in that year. American Theater Magazine called Miami New Drama the theater that most exemplifies the city right now. And that is because central to our mission is the commitment to be as multicultural, multi-ethnic, and multilingual as the community that we serve. And we're proud of that fact. Staying true to that mission has allowed us to be such a quickly growing institution. You know, and it was said in a previous meeting, I will make note The issue of institutional soundness was raised about Miami New Drama. And it's worth repeating that we are a solid organization with a full-time staff of 10 or 15, depending on season. Currently, with Seven Deadly Sins, we've employed over 100 people in the arts in the arts community, which, of course, is an industry that was so hard hit during the COVID shutdown. We have an active, diverse, and engaged board of 15, and we've shown now at a time in, you know, when our county's cultural institutions are closed or nearly closed, we've activated Lincoln Road, bringing good news stories about public events to Miami Beach and the AP, the Washington Post, PBS NewsHour, French International AP, which in a story about us called Lincoln Road, the Champs-Élysées of Miami Beach. We were one of the five top good news stories happening in the world. So theater, you know, lives in Miami Beach was that headline. We have a proven track record of serving the community, and we were a very young company when we took over the Colony, and it was a great leap of faith on the part of the commission to entrust the Colony Theater to Miami New Drama. But Miami New Drama is by no stretch of the imagination or any metric the organization that it was 5 years ago when that happened. So, and our programming attracts 40,000 people a year. And as Commissioner Higgins said, a huge percentage of those come over the bridge. It's over 80%, over 85% actually. And that's because of our English and our Spanish language programming. 86% of those people have drinks or dinner on Lincoln Road. That's 77% of them pay for parking, and they're full-time residents as well. One of the most important elements of growth for Miami New Drama, and we know this is so important to so many of you on the commission, Commissioner Steinberg, especially for you, you've mentioned it in previous meetings, is educational programming for Miami New Drama. And to be honest, the Colony Theater is the greatest limiting factor to the expansion of the educational programming of Miami New Drama, because we have such a robustly programmed space that, I mean, the Colony Theater is a beautiful theater, but it only has the stage that you see. It has no other facilities, none of the infrastructure that a major regional theater needs to function. So even though we have that limited facility, we still serve over 20,000 students a year, and that's by bringing them to the theater to see productions and by sending productions out into the schools. But we, with an additional facility, we would be able to engage far more students. We've done so even now, and we've done virtual work by our Mastermind program, our Mastermind Youth program, our Mastermind STEAM program that we're doing at Miami Beach Senior High. So we're really looking to expand education, and this facility is the key to expanding education for Miami New Drama. So we listened to everything that everybody had to say, and we still have the primary elements that everybody wanted. It was daytime activation and nighttime activation, especially for Commissioner Richardson, who has said it a number of times, that the nighttime activation there is extremely important. And we have different elements that fulfill that, and we feel that we can fulfill that morning to night. It's not a good retail situation in the neighborhood right now. There's over 35,000 square feet of vacant retail in that space. We commissioned a retail analysis of the space that staff has been privy to and Finance Committee was privy to. And you all know that there's plenty of vacancy on Lincoln Road, and though we don't like to ring that bell too often, if you've been to Seven Deadly Sins, you know that we were able to fit all of the sins on one block of Lincoln Road. So we sat down with Enrique Norton, who is a famed architect and sits on our board, and we developed this ground plan. There's been some changes to it since last time, because what ended up getting built was different than what was in the original plans that we had gotten from public record, but primarily just the moving of the parking and security office, which made the offices and costume studio a bit smaller. But there you have the education and rehearsal studio, the 200-seat studio theater, the living room area, as we call it, the cafe with live music, office and studio space for Miami New Drama in the B space behind, which is not the prime leasable space, and a small costume design studio and dressing rooms for the facility. Enrique Norton you probably know him. He is a renowned architect. He designed Park at 420, where the Timeout Cafe is. He, you know, the El Paso Children's Museum, the Museum of Modern Art in Medellin, a number of important facilities. And we're honored that he has agreed to design this project for us. So this is the center hub of the space for us. This is what we call the living room. This is a cultural lounge. You know, there's a lot of in the conversations that have started, especially this summer, about equity and inclusion in our cultural spaces. There's a lot of talk about how a lot of times theaters keep people out, and they're seen as places that you can't get into unless you spend a lot of money. And so it's important for us to have a space that engages the community in a way that doesn't require the purchasing of a ticket, right? This is a space that, yes, it's a lobby before a performance, but more importantly, this is a space that anyone can use. It's a space that will house rotating art installations. It's gallery space from partner nonprofits, and we'd be looking to feature early and mid-career traditionally marginalized artists, artists of color, LGBTQ artists. It has comfortable seating, complimentary Wi-Fi. There'll be coffee served here all day. So you can have a meeting. You can come here and study, do your work after school, etc. Very excitingly, we were able to develop a relationship, a partnership with Books and Books, who I believe at one time had been approached for this space as a retail tenant and wasn't interested, but was interested because of the partnership with Miami New Drama to be a presence in this lobby and curate a bookstore in the way that you know, there's an example in New York, the Signature Theater lobby, these theater spaces that really become community spaces, and that's really key to this space for us. The Collins Park Cafe is something that we heard over and over from the neighborhood that they wanted, an affordable morning to night cafe, a place to get a bagel and coffee in the morning, a business lunch in the afternoon, a pre or post theater dinner. But one of the things unique to Collins Park is that you can have live music. So we wanted to introduce that element. It's something that's really important to the community as well. And we see curating a jazz series there or having other artists performing there. Again, another performance space for Miami New Drama and its partners so that you can have multiple things going on at once. Imagine a show going on in the Black Box, a class going on in the educational studio, and at, you know, at 10 o'clock, a jazz concert starts in the cafe. And this would be a private nonprofit partnership, which are, you can find dozens and hundreds of successful examples of them around the country in facilities like this. Michael can speak to that, certainly at the Arsh Center and other facilities around the country. It's a great partner to a theater space, and having it under our management will ensure the synergy of the spaces, especially when it comes to performance there. The community education and rehearsal studio, like I said, is key. This is where classes, workshops, educational programming, and summer camps will happen. Commissioner Gongora was very interested, and rightfully so, in serving the senior community. And we have found an incredible partner who has agreed to do Monday night dance for seniors and other free and interesting activities there. As always, you know, we participate in a number of programs and give free tickets to seniors, et cetera. But we wanted to engage them in another meaningful way. And it's important not just to reach out to children, but and people that come to the theater, but to everyone in the community. So, and one thing that's special about this space, if hopefully that we can execute in the design, is that it's combinable with the studio theater. So you'd be able to create this massive 7,000 square foot event space by combining them. And that would open up a whole host of other uses. Imagine Art Basel events, et cetera. A small costume design studio in the area in the back that doesn't have very high ceilings, but it certainly would be nice to bring some of those jobs to Miami Beach instead of shipping them off to Orlando and New York and other places where we currently do construction of costumes. And then, as you know, Miami New Drama has about 10 employees and 250 square feet of office space behind the box office of the Colony Theater. And more than ever, it's important to have healthy and productive workspace for our employees. And then this is the centerpiece of nighttime activation. This is the part where we as an organization invest millions of dollars to create exciting things for the community that we don't necessarily recoup, but it's our mission. And this is the 200-seat flexible black box theater. And this would be home to our Spanish language programming that is so successful in the summer and doesn't have a home during the year. It would be home for theater for young audiences, film screenings, special events, and cultural partner and community programming for whom the Colony is not necessarily the best fit. You know, we rent the Colony and the city pays for many people to rent the Colony. And then often they have 50 people in the audience and a stage that's too big. So there is a need for a space like this, and we would extend it to them. And so one of the things that we heard was that we wanted, that the commission and the community wanted to really expand the reach into the community. And we've partnered with four amazing organizations that will be utilizing and performing the space in year one. And those are Guitars Over Guns, an incredible organization that we are friends with, that we with an incredible mission, which I'm sure you all know. Miami Classical Music Festival, currently rehearsing and performing at Beach High, that really needs another home, and they perform in the summers and reach hundreds of students. Dance Now, that would love to come back to the beach and perform. And then Nudeco Ensemble, that has had such success at the band show, but had concerts, you know, in 200-seat black box, you know, at the Lightbox in Wynwood, but would love to bring those kind of concerts to the beach. And then, of course, the partnership with Books and Books. And below there, you see a whole host of people that we have presented at the Colony in the time that we've been there. You know, and like I said, the senior partners and everything else that we have, that we will be presenting there. And we've been able to garner the support of our cultural anchors in the neighborhood, Miami City Ballet, New World Symphony, the Bass. They're very excited about potential partnerships and the future of really creating an impactful cultural campus there. And the Chamber of Commerce is very supportive of this project, as well as the Collins Park Neighborhood Association and some other organizations that are our friends of Miami New Drama. One of the things that we did is we commissioned an economic impact study for Miami Economics Associates, a frequent consultant to the city. And not only did they make a strong case against the viability of retail in that space in the current climate, but they estimate an annual impact to the city of Miami Beach GDP of $11 million with an additional $250,000 in parking revenue for the garage. And this is achieved through the synergy of the spaces under the management of Miami New Drama and the diversity of uses of that space. And finally, we would respectfully like to remind the commission that, you know, Miami New Drama brought this proposal at a time when there really was no plan for the Collins Park Garage. There was a plan for more traditional retail with small cultural carve out that was presented in tandem with our additional proposal. So while we are always supportive of transparency and fairness, in fairness, this is the fourth time we've discussed this in public, and there was no Collins Park Cultural Center until Miami New Drama conceived of it. So this is really a question of an organization ready for expansion, looking for the right home, and we want that home to be Miami Beach, and this concept would be both an asset to the beach and solidify Miami New Drama's future in Miami Beach.
Thank you. Michelle, you want to say something? I'm going to let one other person speak before we come back to the commission. But Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to thank everyone for the chance for speaking today. We want to continue to grow in Miami Beach. This is our home. We feel privileged to be in this very special community. And we would just really love the opportunity because Miami New Drama is going to have to grow. We really, really want to grow here. We want to grow in our home. Thank you so much.
Okay, I have one more speaker before we come to the commissioners. Let's bring in the mayor of Collins Park is here with his staff and his advance team. Could we bring in Ray Breslin, please?
Hello, do you hear me?
Yes.
Well, I can't say anything any better than what has already been said by the previous four speakers. The presentation came to us after we'd looked at all these different things that we wanted in there, and all of a sudden, one organization, Miami New Drama, brought it all to us. They presented it. Our board was excited. We've been excited. The first presentation was like 6 months ago. And if the city was going to consider an RFP, it should have been done 6 months ago, not today. So to me, it's a no-brainer. They are going to bring an amazing product to the Collins Park garage and to the Collins Park Cultural Center and what we've always considered the Collins Park campus. And with its location being as close as it is to the convention center, there's going to be a lot of uses for the convention center folks to be able to utilize that space. It's adjacent to all of the high-end hotels that have made us world-renowned and brought everybody. Look at the new hotel that wants to come to where the Seagull is. First hotel in the United States. Where do they want to come? Miami Beach. Where do they want to come? Collins Park. We are the epicenter of art and culture, and this can be the final jewel, and I hope you give it to them tonight. It's what we want. It's what we need. Thank you.
Okay. Before I turn over to my colleagues, let me just say this. Look, I feel strongly that this organization has showed us, you know, that they're fully capable of animating the vision that I think we all share for our community. I think they've shown all their abilities as a cultural institution that's multifaceted. But more importantly, what an amazing opportunity we have to build this cultural center in an area that will be, you know, continue our march to be one of the great cultural destinations in the world. And at the same time, giving our residents amenities that they couldn't find anywhere else. So this is really, to me, a great opportunity. And by the way, if after 60 days, you know, someone comes back to us, we're not taking our finger off the checker. But on the other hand, we are letting this organization know that they are a cultural anchor. We trust them, and we want to build with them a vision of our community as a cultural mecca. So I can't make the motion. So anybody want to make the motion?
I would like to ask a couple of questions first, Mayor.
Sure. Let's go through.
I need some clarification.
You know, I'm going to go. Well, Commissioner Richardson, you can go. Then we'll go to Commissioner Gongora and Areola. Let's go through it.
I don't want to jump ahead of anybody else.
It's the first one I see. So Commissioner Gongora, we'll go in that thing. Go ahead.
Sure. I have one question, and then I have some more comments. I love the presentation, Nick and Michelle. I think, Nick, you're the one primarily handling it. A big element for us in making decisions is public benefit. So I appreciated how you highlighted the partnership with senior groups and with children's education and other advocacy groups. We don't have a firm agreement tonight. We have a concept of what you want to do. But I wanted to focus in a little bit more on that concept as what you could provide in public benefits for seniors and children, as well as what space you could provide for other not-for-profit groups in our city that are always so anxious for space to be able to host events. One of those groups, you know, Miami Beach Pride, reached out today looking to see if there was an opportunity for them to be part of this as well. Could you give a little more information along those lines, and then I'll give you my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I mentioned, the space is envisioned as a space that other partners will use. I mean, that's we formed those four core partnerships, but we're absolutely open to more and to having those partnerships evolve. And maybe, you know, we have already a sample of what year one would look like in the space calendar wise. And that includes a variety of different groups. And we're always open to more as we can fit them and as we can find place for them, because there's so many different spaces in this facility. It really gives an opportunity for a lot of different partnerships. I mean, just thinking off the top of my head, like Jazz Fest, and you've got other, you know, you have so many different types of spaces that you can really open it up. And we're absolutely committed to doing that.
Okay, thank you. Here's my thoughts. One of the good things is this commission is pretty unified on revamping our city as even a stronger arts and cultural mecca, the leader in South Florida. You see it all across the city, from the re-envisioning of South Beach to the increase in budgeting for art in public places and our own cultural arts committee. the work we're doing up in North Beach at the Byron Carlisle, and of course here in Collins Park. One of the beauties to me about this is that Collins Park for me started out as more of a workforce housing project. How are we going to house ballet dancers and artists and city employees? And really Miami New Drama jumped on board very early, and you kind of helped create and craft this vision for the cultural arts facility by creating enough space for things to occur. Back, you know, last year, whenever it was, we were already discussing the need for the Black Box and the 200-seat theater that could service smaller productions. I love the inclusion of Spanish-speaking production, which isn't going to fill up the Colony Theater, but could fill up a smaller theater, and working with the community. And you've been involved every step of the way, working with the Collins Park Neighborhood Association and others. So it was always my thought that you were going to be looked at for this at first, and that this wasn't necessarily something that would go out to an RFP. Clearly, in government, RFPs sounds very good, because as elected people, you want to make sure you're getting the best deal possible and seeing what's out there. But I do agree with the comments that Michael Spring and Commissioner Higgins made. When it comes to arts and culture, that's not the way that we typically go. I remember early on when I was first elected, we were working with the New World Symphony at the time, who were then housed at the Lincoln Theater that's now H&M. And we were talking about taking one of those open space lots and creating what is now the New World Symphony and Soundscape Park as we know it. And it was controversial back then. You know, there was some talk about whether we would work only with them or work with other groups, but it was a deal that New World Symphony brought us. And because of their longstanding presence and contributions to the city, we decided to work with them. And now I believe everybody in the city would look to that as a success story of Miami Beach creating a truly wonderful cultural institution. And I see this as another opportunity with Miami New Drama. I remember when I was on the commission previously, before you were there, we tried working with various operators, and we never were really able to get, unfortunately, a very high quality of theatrical production there. The Colony Theater was empty way too often when we would have liked to have seen it filled. And to your credit, you brought in some really cool and innovative theater to the Colony that has made us all proud, and you continue to. I love what you did with the Seven Deadly Sins during the pandemic by coming up with something innovative and outdoors. Congratulations. I know you were on PBS a few days ago with that. So that's another feather in your cap. And a feather in your cap is a feather in our cap, because you make Miami Beach look good, and we take credit for everything good that you do. So from my perspective, I would like to see us work with you. I think that we have an opportunity here to create something really special and magical. I think that the item that was added, R9D, to waive competitive bidding doesn't mean necessarily give it to you right away. But what it means is that we're not going to go out to an RFP tonight, a process that we've seen in our city, unfortunately, can sometimes take a year or more, depending on the project and how it's done. And to perhaps instead direct our city manager and city attorney to try to negotiate a deal. Take that concept plan that you've shown us tonight and hone in on those elements. Because whatever we do has to be good for the city and have a clear public benefit. So it would have to be demonstrated your success story thus far on Lincoln Road at the Colony, what you envision and what you've shown us tonight. Flesh out those points. In particular, you know, I always ask for a public benefit. You know, some people love it. Some people are critical of me for doing it. But for me to ultimately approve a deal with Miami New Drama, I would have to know that our children would have a learning facility, that our seniors and low-income seniors would have an opportunity to see theater that they otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to see, that our not-for-profit groups that are underserved would be able to have space working with you in any facility, to make sure that things such as Pride and other performances are successful. So I have faith in you, and because I know you, and I'm not hesitant to work with groups that I know have a good track record and I believe will continue to be of high quality for our city. So those are my comments for tonight. And before I lose my time and it moves on to somebody else, I'm going to make a motion to waive the competitive bidding process and to work with Miami New Drama to see what you can provide for us for a Collins Park cultural arts facility.
Thank you, Commissioner Gongora. Okay, let's go to Commissioner Arreola. By the way, I'm happy to second the motion, but let's just first go to the commissioners first. Commissioner Arreola.
Then Commissioner. So a couple things. One is, I think even before you were Mayor, Mayor Gilbert, you know, I had envisioned that the retail component of Collins Park, largely all of it, if not all of it, would be used for cultural purposes. So things that don't necessarily make money the way leasing it out to a bank would, leasing it out to things like, you know, art galleries, black box theaters, et cetera, was something that I really pushed for. I remember the city manager at that time looking at me really funny, like I was crazy, but I'm glad this whole body is in unison that this should be largely, if not entirely, for cultural purposes, because the government, the job of government is not to, you know, maximize the rent we get for the space, but to create, you know, places that serve the public interest and to, you know, provide these kind of amenities that may not bring the highest rent per square foot, but have other social goods. So I'm glad we're all in unison on this. I've got two concerns, and really, you know, one is just the process. Mr. City Manager, I think we're talking about potentially $5 million of city money going into this. Is that correct?
Those were some of the questions I have when one of you, if one of you decides to recognize me. I have several questions to ask of me.
Okay. All right. Well, let me see if maybe we have the same, but procedurally, you know, potentially investing $5 million of taxpayer money into the space and then turning it over to a non-bid process. I worry about that. I suspect that if we do a bid, Miami New Drama would be the number one or, you know, number two bidder on this, and we would likely negotiate with them. But I do think we should, you know, really strongly consider doing a bid on this, even if it's, you know, an expedited bid. The other thing I worry about is giving the entire thing to one organization. Well, I have great respect for the folks that spoke today, particularly Michelle, who's, you know, the impresario of Miami New Drama. I do worry about, you know, a relatively young institution that still very much relies on the creative genius of the impresario. You know, we look at other institutions in town, you know, Judy Drucker, who ran the Concert Association for a really long time, you know, once she was really unable to run the Concert Association, it went away. It was absorbed by the Arts Center. You know, Gable Stage, when Joe Adler passed away, has ceased to exist. And a lot of these institutions, you know, very, very reliant on the visionary. And so if we're going to turn over the entire complex to Miami New Drama, I worry and would prefer we don't turn over the other components to a nonprofit arts organization. So the cafe, that's something we can contract ourselves. Some of these other things are things that we can do ourselves through partnerships. If something were to happen to Michelle, for example, the board squeezes him out or he gets called to New York to go to Broadway or anything like that, and the new person that comes in doesn't have the same vision or the same relationship with this body and, you know, wants to go in an entirely different direction and we're unhappy with them, you know, I want to make sure we have protection to terminate a relationship with Miami New Drama so that we're not married to an institution that all of a sudden artistically or operationally wants to go in another direction. I've been involved in the local arts scene for two decades now, and I see it all the time. You know, a board goes one way, and the artistic director wants to go another, and then we're stuck with a bad marriage that has nothing to do with us, but has a lot to do with that organization itself. We've seen it with the Miami City Ballet itself and its drama. So if we do something with Miami New Drama or anybody, we need to make sure that that we put in enough protections where the city can sever the relationship if we don't like what's going on. You know, so I love Miami Drama. I love Michelle and what he's done. And I want to see them definitely be one of the anchor tenants here. I'm reluctant to do something in a no bid, and I'm reluctant to do something to just turn over the whole facility to them without having some protection that if they don't know how to run a cafe well, or they're doing something we don't like, that we're kind of stuck with it. So that's where I'm at.
Thanks, Commissioner. Okay, Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. I've gotten a lot of calls and emails and messages about this over the last couple of weeks, mostly encouraging me. No one has yet advised me on where I'm going to get $5 million, but I guess that's our job. So as the budget guy, I do have some questions, and maybe Eileen, Commissioner Higgins, you and Michael Spring, and thank you both for entertaining me and giving me a lot of time this week to ask a lot of questions about cultural organizations in general. But we're talking about some money here. And as you rightfully said, this would be a very important regional center, not just Miami Beach. And so I'm curious if the county ever puts up any money for infrastructure, or is it mostly operational? So if you guys could answer that question, that would be helpful for me.
Michael or Commissioner Higgins?
I'm happy to
answer the question. Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Thanks, Commissioner. Appreciate that. So the county's capital investments usually come with the advent of a bond issue. And so our last one, as you may remember, was the Building Better Communities bond issue back in 2004. And we're just finishing up work on about $500 million worth of cultural facility projects. We don't carry money in our annual county budget for big capital expenditures, other than trying to maintain the facilities we own ourselves. And you may know the county runs itself 3 theaters and a neighborhood arts center. And even there, we're struggling to maintain and repair those theaters. So what we do, though, is we work with folks like Michelle and Nick to connect them with resources from, you know, other entities. So the state of Florida has a cultural facilities grants program that the legislature actually funds occasionally, and they provide $500,000 grants to nonprofit cultural organizations for facility projects. And the National Endowment for the Humanities actually has the only federal cultural facilities project that exists. So those things are options, but largely these facilities are made possible through the investment by their owners. In this case, it would be municipalities. In the county's case, for the things that we've built with our bond program proceeds, the county has both built and completely outfitted the cultural facilities that we've been responsible for.
Okay, thank you. So let me turn to Miami New Drama and ask a couple of questions, because I know we had some discussions a couple of months ago. $5 million is a lot of money. And so is any part of your proposal to raise any money for the infrastructure, or would you need Miami Beach to put all of that money up? And there's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah. I mean, my biggest question would be, is that really the question? Is that question for the next round, or is it for now? But let me just say something very important. Like, we are not only matching the city of Miami Beach's investment in building this space, we are exceeding it. We are, if I can, does this still work? There we go. You see my screen?
I'm not talking about economic analysis. And by the way, I'm very pleased to know that there's an $11 million economic analysis on this one building, and there's no return for the city in all of Ocean Park, so Ocean Drive, rather. So it's pretty startling. $11 million just in one building.
And that's the exponential impact of audiences that come.
So I think you're talking about economic impact. My question
is not economic. This is not economic impact. This is actual dollars spent. So this is okay. This is the city's. This shows an investment of $5 million from the City of Miami Beach. It shows $400,000 in annual rent deferral with 2% annual increases. And it shows an annual investment of $1.4 million, starting $1.4 million by Miami New Drama with 3% annual increases, which is a conservative estimate. It's just programming. It doesn't even include staffing and other things we'd have to bring into the building. And this shows that by year five, even with a $5 million investment and rent deferral, Miami New Drama's investment in this space to program it exceeds that of the City of Miami Beach. Over 20 years, we will be spending over $36 million to program the space and create the kind of activation that creates that $11 million impact to the GDP. So we are matching and exceeding dollars, but we as an organization.
No, but let me, in the interest of time, let me, because the mayor's only going to give me so much time, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the capital costs.
Sure.
We're looking at having to come up with $5 million, right? So there's no part of your proposal that is going to put any part of that $5 million on the table.
I don't know that. I don't know that because the proposal is not finished and the negotiations with staff are not finished. If we're able to, and it works in the concept that we're, and it works in the final deal that we come back to commission with, it's possible. I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'll give you an example. We could right now be not producing and come to you and say, we have $500,000 that we're not using. But instead we took $500,000 and we brought thousands of people to Lincoln Road and created the kind of press that would cost tens of thousands of dollars for the City of Miami Beach. Our dollars are best spent doing what we do and programming. We could have spent $500,000 to improve the infrastructure of the Colony Theater, which is desperately needed. But when we put our dollars behind programming is when we get better impact. So I'm not saying it's impossible that we would bring cash to the table as part of the final deal. I wouldn't, you know, say it's impossible at all.
And I'm not saying that it. And I'm not saying it would be necessary for me that you do. I'm just exploring. I'm just asking all these questions because, you know, I think to Commissioner Areola's point. You have a very impressive impresario. So, and if that individual were to leave, you know, sometimes cultural institutions don't survive that. So, but to Commissioner Areola's point, he said he would like to see an exit provision. So, and you can certainly understand that if you do not make any capital investment, if you don't have an investment in the space, then it would be much easier for the city to say that you don't have an investment. If you do make an investment, then it makes it more difficult to have an easy termination clause because we don't like to see people put money into assets and not have an exit plan. But if you put nothing in it, then it makes it easier for the city to ask for a very strong favorable termination provision on the city side. I just highlight that. Now, to your point on advertising Miami Beach, one thing that concerns me, and when I was in Tallahassee, I noticed this, but I never really said anything because I was solving a different mission, if you will. But, you know, the Greater Miami Convention and Visitor Bureau, one of the things I've talked to them about is not liking their catchphrase, Greater Miami and the beaches. I've suggested we might want to call it Miami Beach and the mainland. And to the point, you know, this is Miami New Drama located in Miami Beach. We have the Miami City Ballet that we give a lot of money to. We have Miami Classic and Musical Festival that you're wishing to partner. We have Dance Now Miami. None of these organizations, including your own, include the words Miami Beach, but we're your host community. And at some point, I want to be a little selfish for my community and say, how do I get the words Miami Beach mentioned? You know? And so I'm not asking you to respond to that today, but if we move forward with a proposal, I don't know if it's Miami New Drama at Miami Beach or something, but at some point I got to wave my Miami Beach flag and say, will we never get any recognition? Because I'm so tired of people coming from overseas and saying, I was just there in Miami and you have the most beautiful beaches. Well, you weren't in Miami, you were in Miami Beach. Now I want to turn to the cafe because Commissioner Areola mentioned this, and this was a stumbling block for me And I appreciate Mr. Spring spending some time with me talking through some of my concerns this week. I think as as Commissioner Areola mentioned, you know, you're not really in the cafe business. And, you know, you should maybe focus on your core mission. But as Michael Spring mentioned to me, one of the things is that you can have a benefit if you are co-located with a cafe that you're in partnership with, so you can, you know, work together on different events. But one thing that I would like to see, because I've felt very strongly about this, is that we should not provide a discounted rent for a cafe when there are cafes and restaurants across the street who can't compete because they're paying commercial space. So the question for you is, if you are looking to bring in a cafe partner, would you expect, or would you agree that that would have to be leased at commercial space, at commercial rent rates, so that all cafes and restaurants in the area will be competing on an equal footing?
I think the purpose of 2 months to negotiate a deal is to have time to hammer out all of these points. I think you make a perfectly understandable point. We look at it from the point of view of a partnership, a private-public partnership. And, you know, not all cafes are created equal. The community came to us and said, everything in Collins Park is overpriced because the rents are too high, and we want something affordable that feels like a neighborhood cafe and that has live music. Maybe that's not something that can exist in the current retail ecosystem. I don't know. I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but I'm saying in other examples in the country, the right kind of nonprofit private partnership in cafes do provide offerings that wouldn't necessarily be able to exist and thrive in a purely commercial setting. There's a lot of examples of that on Lincoln Road and other places. So, but your point is taken, and that would certainly be on the table during negotiations.
Let me stop for a second. You know, we're not giving them the contract now. So we could, there's probably...
I understand, Mayor, but what I'm doing...
And I'm not upset. I'm just trying to explain you something. This gives everybody 60 days to come to some terms that we can agree on. There will be moments in between those 60 days, perhaps a committee meeting, perhaps a commission meeting, where we will get updates, where the terms will come out, and we'll have a chance to weigh in, either informally, as which is the case, or in the process of a committee meeting. So the only reason I say that is I see that there's at least three or four more people want to speak. And my guess is that we could probably go through every possible term that they could do. And I think probably that might be well spent time, but this isn't to give them the award. It's to give them 60 days to come to an agreement that the staff feels comfortable recommending to us. And my assumption is there'll be some formal or informal input during that time from the commission. And I don't mean to stop you, Commissioner. So by all means, you can take as much time as you want. But some people listening may think that this is an award, and it obviously isn't an award. It's really just to say, hey, before we take this other door, why don't we go with our dance partner for a moment and see if we can come to agreement with them in a way that, and that's why their presentation was. So go ahead, Commissioner Richardson. I apologize for interrupting.
I appreciate that. And I'm not trying to negotiate the deal on the dais, but, you know, I have four or five issues that are really important to me. And if our dance partner or future dance partner says they're not flexible on a particular issue, then I'm not going to be flexible in my vote. So that's why it's important for me to ask the questions. So to your point, Nick, I will not support an agreement that has a discounted rate for a cafe, because while I understand there are some in the neighborhood that have said there's no affordable place to have breakfast or to get a sandwich. It's not the place of government to subsidize a cafe at the expense of other restaurants in order to have a cheaper bagel. That's not the role of government. And so I will not support a deal if it comes back in that way. So, and the other thing that I haven't seen any real flexibility on is the space proposal, which was also mentioned by Commissioner Areola. So, you know, I think that I don't know that we should give up all of this footprint for this. Anyway, having said all of that, I'm excited about the prospect. I look forward to hearing more about Miami New Drama in Miami Beach. So I'm going to support the proposal today. It's been moved and seconded, and I know others want to speak, but I will support it today with a 60-day limit. And Mayor, that's another reason why these questions are important to me, because if we do give 60 days and we're not able to come to terms because of one of these important issues important to me, then we've lost 60 days in trying to find a dance partner. So I think these issues are important, but I will agree to a 60-day time period today, and I appreciate you giving me so much time.
I regret the metaphor dance partner already. Commissioner Samuelin, you're up.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I think we should be very proud of Miami New Drama and what they've done. I've been a big fan of theirs, and they've really, if you step back, shown an investment where the city and the community work together in unison that's working. So I think that's a wonderful situation. I think one thing that's very important as we consider the option of an RFP is that they have some expansion needs. So it's difficult to just look at the space in a vacuum. We have to look at that space and also recognize that they have needs that are there. So I think it's fabulous that we have this shared vision. I believe that it warrants and will support the 60 days to pursue. I think there's an opportunity here, and I think it makes sense that we proceed. I want to just sort of ditto a few comments that my colleagues, especially a couple of my finance colleagues mentioned, that we want to make sure that the city is protected from a risk management standpoint, that we address any risks, including key person risks, because I think that's important. I think we're looking at a vision, but I think we do need to get to the next level of detail, including what roles each partner should play. I like the Miami Beach flag. So, Commissioner Richardson, I like that. I think that makes sense. And at the bottom line, we need to see the bottom line and the financial picture that would emerge. I know we're operating on a tight time frame, but I would feel most comfortable if, when there are actual terms that come together, that they be brought to our finance committee. That's the role our finance committee plays. I think that would be an important step. And I also want to underline and appreciate our colleagues from the county who are with us tonight, Commissioner Higgins, Mr. Springer as well. They're fellow investors. They're stakeholders, and they're giving us a recommendation. And I think for me, that matters. So I am going to support this tonight. Before I conclude, Mayor, I would like to hear from our city manager under my request here. Does he have a recommendation, or does he have something that he would like to have before we conclude?
And I'll get to him as soon as we get through two more commissioners, and then I was going to go to Raul after Commissioner Steinberg, but the vice mayor is next.
Thank you, Mayor. And first off, just want to thank Miami New Drama because they've done an incredible job. I think everyone has acknowledged that, and it's they've been a great partner to our city and really taking a lead in a very difficult environment. I think we've all established that cultural activation is the way to go, and that's going to happen. And it's not about maximizing profit, but ultimately there is a significant city expenditure here, whether it's $5 million or somewhere in that vicinity. And I guess I look at this sort of as a circular argument. I'm a big believer in the checks and balances. And even though this is well-intentioned, to potentially waive the competitive bidding. I just don't see the harm in putting it out to a competitive bid, because we're basically establishing that Miami New Drama is the best tenant for this, and the best at activating this cultural space, whether it's split up among other partners as well, as we've heard as well. But ultimately, they are the best tenant, and that's very possibly true. So then there's no harm in putting it out for a bid, and there may not even be another bidder, or we'll see what the cultural market bears. And I guess I look at it, there's also been some discussion that we are going to potentially lose time if we put it out for bid, because there'll have to go through that process. And all we do is lose 60 days if ultimately we award this window of opportunity to Miami New Drama. I guess I look at it inversely from that. I look at it as, if we don't reach an agreement with Miami New Drama, we as a city have just lost 60 days, because then we have to put it out for bid and we're starting all over again. So I look at it as there's potential risk in not putting it out for RFP. And this is a tough one, because I've spoken, as Commissioner Richardson said, I've spoken to many people who feel passionately about this and who want to move forward Miami New Drama. So it's probably not a very popular decision that I'm making right now, but I feel my responsibility is not to be popular, but to try to make ultimately the best decision for our city and our residents. And even though monetary terms, this is not your typical procurement, because it's not all about the money. It's about the cultural activation, and which I will concur that Miami New Drama is an exceptional player in this field. Will probably would even get the contract, or very possibly, but I feel like we have a general rule in putting out for procurement, and I think there's too many risks here that outweigh the benefits. So I'm going to be a no.
Okay. Commissioner Steinberg.
Hi, thank you. You know, I'm used to being the unpopular vote on this dais, and I'm okay with that. But in this case, I think I look at it a little differently. I have a slightly different perspective on this. And actually, David, hats off to you. You may have just actually coined a new name, Miami New Drama in Miami Beach. It may stick. It may stick. I don't know. All right. But all kidding aside, this is a Miami Beach based nonprofit organization that is a partner of ours, a cultural partner of ours that has actually proven itself. I'm intrigued by where this could go. By no means is it a green light for the proposal wish list that was presented to us. There's a lot of negotiating that needs to happen. And I'd like to see where it goes. I think it's the right thing to do. We're in a pandemic right now, and we've all agreed that we want to have cultural facility in that facility, a cultural anchor there. You know, we have a visual one with the bass. We have the Miami New, we have dance. Now we want the theater aspect potentially, or something that ties into that campus. And during this pandemic, going out to an RFP, I don't know what we're going to get, because right now, sadly, when you think about New York and you think about Broadway, it's lights out on Broadway right now. And here in Miami Beach specifically, it's lights on, you know. And so we have to really be very careful how we move forward so that we actually do continue to keep the lights on. And the ROI, I think, is something that we really need to look at and understand. And so for that tonight, for exploring what can be, I am in favor. I'm looking forward to hearing from our city attorney, our city manager, and everybody. I thank our county partners for being here tonight. Michael Spring, nice to see you again in this capacity. But, you know, for tonight's purposes, I think it's important for us to see where this goes. Again, by no means are we agreeing to anything other than deferring one process and going to another process. And when it comes to taking a chance on a proven non-for-profit, I think it's worth the exploration. Any safeties that we would have to put forward, whatever comes back to us, there needs to be protections for Miami Beach and, of course, for the entity as well. But we need to make sure they're the right clauses, the right outs, and that it makes sense. This is also one of the few times where we have the entire community, which is very rare in our city. The entire community surrounding the area has said to us, please, please do this. Please do this. So, you know, I tend to listen to the residents a lot. And if this is what they're telling me, I want to really understand where this partnership could go. Again, doesn't mean it's going to go there, but let's see where it goes. Let's explore this together and let's continue this synergy. And let's look, I mean, they put some sheet up there with numbers up to year 20, which means and tells me that they want to be an institution here. So let's see what we can do to make that a reality.
Thank you, Commissioner Steinberg. Okay, Commissioner Miner, you still have your hand up. Commissioner Ariel, you still have your hand up.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I do want to hear from our city manager, you know, I'm a little bit perturbed that, you know, the city's being asked to invest $5 million hard money. Miami New Drama doesn't even know if they're going to do any sort of match. It seems like an answer they and the board should have been ready to address. I think that if we were to send out an RFP to the street and say to the arts community, hey, we've got this amazing space, you know, class A space, and we're going to put in $5 million, and where the city will help promote you, we will get interested parties. There's, you know, the one thing arts organizations are always looking for is money and space. So they're not the only game in town. Let's as much as we all love them, let's also not kid ourselves that they're the only game in town. And so, you know, again, I'm still going to vote for putting out an RFP and see what's out there. I mean, why don't we look at other concepts? And if we want to go with Miami New Drama at the end of the day, then we will have negotiating power to insist on certain things, and we'll have fallbacks in case we can't reach an amicable agreement with Miami New Drama. We've all expressed, most of us have expressed concerns about a deal and what a deal might look like, and you know, some concerns about being able to terminate an agreement. I think it's really important that we reach out to the arts community and see what they envision for the space. And so, you know, I'm gonna be a no because I want to see what's out there, but I encourage Miami New Drama to bid aggressively. But I do think we should be looking just to see who else might be interested in this.
Okay, Commissioner Richardson, you want to be heard?
I just have a quick question. I really would, as my colleague would like to hear from the manager with his questions. But my question is for legal, and that is a bid waiver requires 4 votes. If this passes, and I'm sorry, 5 votes. You're right. It requires 5 votes. If this passes tonight, and we give 60 days to the administration to see what they come up with, and they bring it back for ratification, if they're able to recommend, would that vote require 5 votes or 4 votes?
It may require 5 votes. It depends on the term of the lease. If it's going to be more than 10 years for this property, it would require planning board approval and a 6/7 vote of the city commission.
But the bid waiver vote would only happen now. And then we would, once we get past that, we don't revisit the bid waiver, right?
Correct. You'd be waiving competitive bidding now.
Right. Yeah. So then the agreement, if you're able to get that far, comes back, absent those other special terms like length of term and so forth, then it would be a 4/7 vote, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Raul, can I, Commissioner, are you done? I'm going to. A couple of people had asked for Raul or Rafael to weigh in. So here's your opportunity, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mayor. Obviously, you know, a lot has been stated today. And I just wanted to speak as to the process. And also, obviously, the mayor has laid out his case for a bid waiver very well. We know that requires 5 votes today. If you authorize us to waive competitive bidding, what we would do is we would negotiate with New Drama for 60 days and bring back a term sheet. And one thing that I was going to suggest in following the process in Chapter 82, which governs the lease or sale of city property, that term sheet should be brought to the Finance Committee for its recommendation before it's brought to the Commission. I wanted to speak to the RFP because the presentation you heard today, and Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, is basically the same presentation that was brought to the Finance Committee on December 18th, 2020. And the committee on that date voted and authorized us, which was ratified by the commission, to prepare an RFP for the lease of the space in the Collins Garage to a cultural facility. I wanted to clarify for those listening in the public that the RFP process, if we issue it tomorrow, is expected to take 4 months. So it's not from issuance to commission approval. So it would go from January to May. So it is not an indefinite process. Let me speak to this because I'm not here to advocate for the RFP, but I do want to bring out some points for the commission with regard to the negotiations, and hopefully that will be incorporated into the motion. The mayor references in his memo a strong proposal from Miami New Drama, and I take that to be the proposal that was submitted on December 18th, 2020, which was presented again today. So I would ask the commission that if they do waive competitive bidding and we are authorized to negotiate a term sheet, that we do so based upon New Drama's proposal as submitted to the Finance Committee on December 18th, 2020, because that does give us parameters. If Nick is still there, I just wanted to clarify that the space to lease is a total of 10,400 square feet. So I just wanted confirmation from New Drama that they can that they can accommodate the elements in their proposal within that square footage. Are they still there?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, we worked off of the ground plan and then reviewed the as-built for the garage.
So the elements could be accommodated within 10,400 square feet.
Is the 10,000 square feet the totality of the visually shown spaces in that?
Yes, yes, it's the
including
square
the space.
Footage. It's not 14,300 square feet.
Right.
It's 10,400 square feet.
Including the spaces under the ramp, et cetera?
I believe so. I will double check. But I'm going by what the RFP says.
Okay, there may be a discrepancy between the RFP and the building plans, but as it lays out in the building plans, we can accommodate all of the elements in the proposal.
Okay. And then the other thing, just for the benefit of the commission and the public, I don't want to dance around it. Their cost estimate, which was done in October of 2020, estimated a $4.8 million build out. Is that number now 5 million, Nick?
No, the number is 5 million. The 4.8, I think, was reached because staff found a credit from the original construction budget of $200,000 for the concrete slab and deducted that from the cost.
So the number for the build out would be 5 million?
It's actually $4 million and $1 million in is the estimate for the equipment.
Which okay, so it's a $5 million
yep.
ask from the city.
Yes.
All right. Commissioners, I want to make you aware that at this moment we haven't identified funding for that. There are possible funding sources that we can identify. So I just wanted to point that out. The additional stuff in listening to all your comments, which I would like incorporated to the motion. First of all, I'd like to ask the city clerk to give me the after action as soon as possible, because I think that the comments from Commissioner Richardson, Areola, and others with regard to points to bring up in the negotiations are very pertinent. This is what I'd also like added to the motion. First of all, I'm assuming that you're looking at a long-term lease of 10 years with a 10-year renewal?
That's correct.
Okay. Commissioner, so we know that when you vote on final documents, that it's going to require 6/7 vote of the commission and 4/7 vote of the planning board. So we all want to be on board with this deal. And by the way, I just want to preface it. I'm as much a fan of New Drama as everything else. But it falls upon me. I've negotiated every transaction with every cultural institution in this city since 1993. So there are just some points that I would like to include to the motion if we waive competitive bidding. First of all is whether through a keyman clause or otherwise, the city needs a commitment, and I think I heard that from all of you, that New Drama will stay in Miami Beach. We don't want a repeat of what happened with Miami City Ballet, where they kept their headquarters here, but took their performances to the Arch Center. So it is critical that New Drama stay in Miami Beach. It is also critical that those that have made New Drama what New Drama is today and what New Drama will become. And I'm talking about Michelle, Moises, and maybe you, Nick. We need some kind of keyman clause, which is not uncommon in negotiation of agreements with cultural facilities. Second of all, I think the city should have some representation on the board. Right now, we have one non-voting board member who's Brandy Reddick. So I think that New Drama should be open for city voting membership on the board. Finally, with regard to the public benefit, I think you heard from Commissioner Gongora, and also I think you heard from Commissioner Richardson that he will not support a discounted rate for the cafe. So again, in my closing comments, what I wanted to mention is the RFP process would take 4 months. If you feel instead that it would be in the best interest of the city to negotiate with New Drama, I would recommend that you incorporate all the points that I've just stated into the motion, and that it within 60 days of negotiated term sheet, rather than go to the city commission, we bring this back to the finance committee. Thank you.
Hold on. Are you saying it's not coming back to the commission?
No, I'm saying that under Chapter 82, which governs the sale of leases of city property, it should go to the finance committee before it goes to the city commission. But ultimately, yes, Mayor, the term sheet will go to the city commission for approval.
Well, let me just say, I appreciate the details. I mean, I would just say a lot of these were very good points, but my thought was you have a wonderful staff. You've done a few of these already. I trust you're figuring out whether you can get a deal. I appreciate Commissioner Richardson's point about a discount. I also know, for instance, some of my colleagues have said that they don't want market rents in these areas because they want activations that make sense. And in fact,
well, I think I'm just simply adding that these points be incorporated into the motion.
Yeah.
As part of the negotiation so that we can narrow it.
Right. I want you guys to do the negotiation. I mean, that's...
Well, we are, but is
okay.
The commission consider amending the motion to include these points?
Okay. Commissioner Richardson.
Thank you, Mayor. So let me add a point of clarification on my item on the cafe, because I feel very, very strongly about it. But one of the things that Michael Spring educated me on about this week is ways that these deals can be structured, and that Commissioner Arriola mentioned that we could do a separate lease on the cafe space and not make that part of Miami New Drama. But there is some benefit of having the synergy and having Miami New Drama partner. But in that case, what I would feel very, very strongly about is that the rent, that if we give them all that space, the rent to the cafe would have to be at commercial rate. They could then use that additional margin if they're not paying the market rate. They could use that for their operations, which is a very typical model for of these cultural, but we should be able to audit that, and we should be able to have access to that. So I'm not insistent upon that we necessarily have to have the commercial rate, but we would insist that if we make that as part of their agreement, that space, that they must charge their operator a commercial rate, and I'm okay for them to use the offset, the difference for their operations, because that's kind of a typical model. But we would have to have access to that. And I agree with many of the points you make, Raul. But I mean, I think the mayor mentioned that we're going to lean on you guys to go and do the work, which is why I felt the need to spend a lot of time talking about that. I do want to make one suggestion and see how my colleagues react to it. We're having to take a vote today that requires four of us to agree to a bid waiver.
Five.
And I'm sorry, I keep saying four, and my brain knows that it's five, but I keep saying four. I apologize. It takes five votes. So it seems to me that, and as you correctly state, that if the lease term is over 10 years, it would have to come back and I think require six votes, right?
Yes.
So I would like to make the motion, if my colleagues will agree, that when if the term sheet were to come back and they say they only want 8 years, for example, which would only require a vote of four, I would like, if we're doing a bid waiver, it seems to me that when this comes back, the vote would require no less than five. We think it's going to require six, but I would like to see, for example, if the lease term comes back and it's 9 years, I would still, given that we are doing a waiver on the bid, I would like to see the agreement require five votes. And I'm just wondering if my colleagues would entertain agreeing to that, or if they would just want to stick with the four votes.
Well, I'm not sure. First of all, I'm not sure you can constrain yourself to a higher vote for something. Raphael, can we decide now that...
I think we do that all the time.
I don't know that we're voting on something that has a legal requirement to pass. I'm not sure we can set a... Raphael, do you understand what he's asking? I don't know the answer. I think I do.
Well, I think the code doesn't cover this. You'd be waiving competitive bidding now on a 5/7 vote. And then depending on the term, if it's less than 10 years, the code would require a majority vote. But as Raul also mentioned, if it's more than 10 years, it'll require six votes. We would need to negotiate that term, as part of all of these points that we'd sit down with Miami New Drama on.
No.
But I remember a situation we had some months back where we had an agreement that required four votes, and a commissioner made a motion that any changes to the future of that particular item would require no less than five votes. And it was agreed by four people to require a future vote by five members. And I'm told that was legal.
I don't remember that. Raphael, can we commit ourselves to a higher vote required by our charter in a future vote?
This would only apply if the term is ultimately less than 10 years.
Yeah, that rule we know.
And yes, you could set those parameters, I think.
So I will make the motion, if somebody wants to second it, that we're going to vote today, and we're required to have five votes for a bid waiver. And so I'm going to make the motion that if the administration comes back with a term sheet, and they ask us to vote on this, that regardless of the term limit or anything else, that the agreement would require a 5/7 vote instead of 4/7 vote.
For approval of the term sheet?
For approval of the agreement.
Of the term sheet?
Yes.
Raphael, you understand that?
Yes, sir. It would be consistent with the fact that you're waiving competitive bidding altogether now on a 5/7 vote.
So we can vote today by 4/7 to require.
No.
You need 5/7 today.
No. Okay, you have to listen to what Commissioner Richardson's asking. Commissioner Richardson would like. He knows we're about to do a 5/7 vote, and we're going to waive competitive bidding with a bunch of stuff where I'll just add it on, and then it's no longer. The competitive bidding is behind us because we got our 5/7. He would like our next vote approving the contract to require 5/7.
No less than five.
And the term sheet, even votes. If it's under 10 years.
Right.
And the question we had is...
It's approving the term sheet, Mayor, not the contract, the term sheet.
The term sheet. Can by a 4/7 vote, we require a 5/7 vote? I'm not aware of that, but
Mayor, it currently requires a 5/7 vote and today. And so as a condition of that, of today's competitive bidding on a 5/7 vote, you could require that the term sheet be also on a 5/7 vote.
Okay. So when we vote, we'll amend that one unless there's an objection. And I'll ask, we'll go around again if everybody wants to do a 5/7 vote on that. But let's keep going. Commissioner Srinidhi, is that what you want to do?
That's what I would like to do, okay. And I've made that motion. So,
all right.
And it may require, if depending on the terms, it may require 6 votes if it's for a term greater than 10 years.
Yeah.
But if for whatever reason it comes back and it's only 8 years, or I'm just saying we should, which requiring 5 votes today, we should require a minimum of 5 votes when the term sheet comes back. I expect it's going to require 6 votes.
Okay, Commissioner Gongora.
Okay. Just so that I'm clear, when we're talking about the term, does that include renewals? So if it were a 6-year lease with a 6-year renewal, does that trigger the 6 votes and the planning board and all that other stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sure they're going to want, okay, I can't imagine these guys wanting less than 10 years. So I think this conversation is probably not going to go anywhere, because I think they're going to want at least 10 years between the renewal terms. I'd be shocked if they didn't. Anybody investing in something like this would. So I think they're going to probably need the 6 votes. So I don't think that that's going to happen. With regard to the comments that were made, I do think that Commissioner Richardson and Commissioner Areola both raised some good concerns from the Finance Committee meeting about making sure we have, you know, the key person clauses, that they stay there, that we have tight oversight. I like the idea of requiring them to keep their offices and performances in Miami Beach, maybe even becoming a Miami Beach name. I think that's all great. I'll incorporate all your comments. The question that I do have, though, is does this have to go back to finance after this administration is done, or is that something that you're requesting? Can you negotiate it, and can it just come back to us for a vote?
A lease requires Finance Committee review.
Okay. So it's going to require their review anyway. All right. And then, you know, I don't think they're going to do this because 2 of the members are voting today to do the waiving. But I assume they voted up or down. It comes back to the commission, and then the commission will either agree with Finance Committee or overrule and vote another way.
It's advisory. Yes, it's advisory.
Right. Okay. All right, then I'll incorporate your comments into my motion, and I'm ready to vote unless everybody wants to keep talking about all this.
Okay. Vice Mayor, you want to talk about it?
Okay. Yeah, just a question. The proposal from Commissioner Richardson to have 5 votes instead of 4 once the term sheet comes back, would that be just for this item?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's what I figured. I'm gonna
be a no on that. I'm sort of for the similar logic, I'm a no on waiving the competitive bid because I think we have a process and rules in place, and I don't, for the reasons I stated, I don't feel comfortable waiving it. And same here, I don't feel we should make one-offs for this unique situation. So I'll be a no on increasing it to 5.
All right. So he's making it part of Commissioner Gongora's motion, which you're going to be down on anyway, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's try to get this in for landing. Commissioner Richardson, your hand.
I just want to make sure that, as Commissioner Gongora correctly stated, it's probably going to be a moot point anyway, because I expect it will require 6 votes, in which case there shouldn't be any objection. But it's a condition of my willingness to waive the bid. So I want to make sure that my colleagues are okay with it.
It's what I intend to do is simply amend
The
waiver.
I just want to make sure because I wasn't sure.
You're going to hear in a moment because they're going to vote. It's now embedded in Commissioner Gongora's motion, and we're going to vote on it.
The amendment was accepted then.
Yeah, it looks like he accepted it.
Perfect.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and vote on this? Let's just do a everybody spoke. It looks to me like Commissioner Minor, Commissioner Areola are no, and the remaining 5 are yes. Does anyone have an objection to that vote call? Okay, show that the vote call.
As amended, right, Rafael?
Rafael, you okay with the way I did that?
Loved it.
Okay.
All right. Motion passed as amended?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck. Good luck, thank everybody. You. Let's clear out all these people from Miami New Drama.
And maybe somebody can find me $5 million under a rock somewhere.
Listen, guys, it's 7:30. The over-under was 7:30. Okay. We only have a couple things left, but we do have the...
Just for the record, Mayor, I'm sorry. R2A is then withdrawn?
Yes, withdraw R2A. Okay. I'll call up R9A and B, because I think, am I correct that all the city appointments, all the city appointments are, there's no competitive city appointments?
Correct. Each one has no competition.
Okay. So given that, hold on. Let's go to Commissioner Richardson. Well, first call up R9A and B. Do you have to do that?
It's R9, we're doing, R9A is just informational. R9B is the at-large board appointments.
Okay. Call up R9B. And then I'll hear from Commissioner Richardson.
We're there now.
Even though I can hear him behind me.
Okay. We may proceed, Your Mayor.
Okay, go ahead, Commissioner Richardson.
No, I was just, I noticed that there were some nominations on the Ad Hoc North Beach CRA, which we just established, and there's an appointment of a nomination for William Vitale. I don't know him. He has not reached out. I'd like the opportunity to have a conversation with him. So I know Daniel Vieta, so I don't know if Commissioner Samuelin would have any objection if we wait on that one. It's the only person. Are you suggesting we move all of these today, or can we have an opportunity to meet with these people?
Well, I was going to ask when there's not kind of, whatever you'd like, guys.
We just established this a few days ago, so okay. I'd like an opportunity.
I don't have an objection personally, but.
I don't have an objection to the other committees because we've been stewing over those for a long while, but this just got established the other day, and so, I'd like the chance to have a conversation with the gentleman.
All right, so why don't we do this?
Everything except for that one, would that be okay with my colleagues?
Why don't you move that? We'll pass it, and then we'll go back to that
okay,
one.
Okay, I'll move that we accept the all of the nominations where there is no competition with the exception of the Ad Hoc North Beach CRA Advisory Committee. We leave that open until the February, at which time we can finalize those.
So
I'll second it.
Okay, seconded.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Let's go done without objection. Okay, so all we have left, let me make sure, is our reviews. We don't have to do the R9C today.
I would move we defer that if we can, Mayor, so we have the time to spend on it rather than rush through it.
I agree with you, but I was very bright.
I agree as well. I'll second that one.
All right, let's show that. Let's show that done. And
and can we just put it on the agenda automatically for the next meeting?
Yes, Ralph, you got that?
Yes, for February 10th.
Yes, congratulations, Commissioner Steinberg. You took the over on the meeting, and you got it to 7:32. Okay. All right. I don't think, is that the end of the agenda, folks?
Yes, sir.
I think it's it.
All right. Listen, thank you.
I just want to make sure. Sorry. I just want to make sure by deferring R9C that the officers, that there's nothing time sensitive for them, that it could wait. That's all. I just want to be respectful.
I'll give you 3 seconds, but my assumption is somebody would have raised their hand if it was. You don't have to tell me it's not. Just tell me if it is. Okay, it's not.
Mr. Mayor, there may be something this time, and I don't want to be seen to slowing that down. So in my motion to defer, I would say to the extent that there are any salary adjustments, they should be retroactive till tonight. If we move on them in a favorable way in the future, I'll make that as part of my motion just because I don't want to punish someone because we are running out of time some night. I think about my charter officers all the time.
Very sweet of you. Very sweet. We're a city of kindness.
Sweet guy looking for $5 million tonight.
All right. Show no objection to that. So thank you all for the meeting tonight. It's a good debate. Always a pleasure. Enjoy your week. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you. Bye-bye.